For all you who like actually watch the videos on like YouTube, like the 300 to 400 of you.
We love you.
Two, you know that like, yeah, I'm white. You know what I mean? Like we're both pretty white.
You can see it.
Everyone who came here from TikTok, most of you.
Of the Caucasus Mountains.
Exactly. We're white. However, little known Hitto lore, little known Gage lore, I'm also like a quarter Asian, but again, like phenotypically white. Like I don't usually experience anti-Asian racism, at least until people know that I'm Asian.
It's a biracial podcast.
Exactly.
Then it's a biracial podcast.
And the white I have, I'm like, I'm Greek. I got a little spice, a little flavor to it. But anyway, I usually don't experience any anti-Asian racism until people know that I'm Asian.
Right.
And I say that because I was hanging out with one of my friends last week, right? I was just eating some food, doing whatever, and he was on FaceTime with his girlfriend. I'm not going to name names because it's reasonable they could find it. They don't fucking listen, but I'm not going to name names,
okay,
right?
Okay. And we'll make them listeners one day.
Exactly. And he was on FaceTime with his girlfriend, and me and him were just like fucking around. Like I was in the kitchen doing dishes, eating my pork chops, and we're doing the John Cena meme. And she, his girlfriend, decided to fuck with him and be like, "Oh my god, my boyfriend, that's racist." And then I decide to hop on the train because I love fucking with people. So I'm like, "Yeah,
well, you do it for a living."
I'm like, "Yeah, her boyfriend. Come on, what's good with that?" And then. And then she says something that caught me so fucking off guard, dude. When I tell you I was floored, I mean it. She goes, "Well, it's racist when you say it, but it's not racist when Gage says it because he's one of them."
You're one of them.
And I was like, what?
Hey, bro, in the age of like anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, you cannot be saying them like
that. That's what I'm saying. She goes, "Yeah, he's one of them, so he can say it." Like, it's not like racist, right? But it's like, it feels a little
weird.
What
do you mean by that?
I have never once in my life thought to describe somebody as one of them.
I think we may have talked about, I don't remember if we talked about this on the show or if this was just like a separate conversation we had. But I feel like for the past like year or so, you've been experiencing a large spike in microaggressions.
On God.
At college. Like, what is going on?
Oh, my God. Yeah, fucking. The MSU police love to just do aggressions against me and just give me parking tickets for parking a handicap, even though my placard is up. There was one time where it was my freshman year. State issued, too. Yeah. It's not even. There was one time where it wasn't even, like, the parking people. It was, like, a state cop that was just trolling MSU's campus.
Crazy.
And decided I'm gonna fuck this kid. He took a picture. of my car in the handicap spot with the placard. And they still gave me a ticket for not putting on my placard. So I went to the parking office to get it resolved, and they show me, they pull up my file and they say, "Your placard's in the picture. I don't really know why you got this ticket." And it was resolved from there, but like still.
That's like they're like trying to belittle you into second class citizenship.
That's
right
what
there.
I'm
just
saying.
Constant surveillance from the police state.
That's crazy. But it gets even wilder, right? Because after she dropped the one of them, I can't remember exactly what it is she said after, but I like start laughing. I'm like, "Bro," I said, "Bro, what?" And then her boyfriend's trying to do like damage control, but it wasn't really damage control. He was fucking with her too. And then she said something like, "Well, yeah, it was like analogous to you people." And I'm like, "Dog, you're just digging yourself a hole right now." What?
She willingly admitted that her saying them was saying you people.
No. She said something else. Like she was describing something.
Oh, okay.
Like Asians, I guess. She was describing
those people.
And she basically used them again just in a different way. And I'm like, "Dog, come on. What the fuck are you doing?"
That's crazy.
She pulled that. Oh, no. All of. And then my friend was like, "Oh, it's because you didn't go to public school, so you wouldn't know anything about diversity."
Maybe she was taking the stance of like 1920 United States when we classified Asian people as whites, technically.
True.
Maybe that's what she was doing.
True.
She was doing the racial bribe. You know what I mean? She was like,
"Exactly.
Gage, I'll consider you white as long as you say that racial hierarchy is okay in other instances."
Exactly.
How about that?
It's okay.
As long as I can say those people in other cases.
But it was so funny because after she does that and after my friend makes fun of her for going to private school, she immediately says, "No, all the foreign exchange students at my school were Asian." And I was like, "Dog, that's not even as good as I have Asian friends."
That's like the whitest thing I've ever heard.
You couldn't say I have Asian friends, which is already like whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's already overused.
You had to go to, "Yeah, there were Asians in my proximity one time."
I tolerated this group of people.
unrelated, but still like cold opening. I think I already told you this, but I had to go get fitted for a suit because I'm going to a wedding over like winter break, like right at the end of December, right? So I had to get fitted for a suit at Men's Warehouse. Mm-hmm. So me and my friend go, and the lady that's fitting us, she's a talker. So she's just kind of going nuts. I'm not really feeling it, but I'm letting her go off. I'm letting her do her thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we get to like the end, and we're checking out and everything, renting my suit. And she fucking just starts talking about something, and she says, yeah, because I'm one of those weirdos that listens to the news. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I listen to the news, too.
What's
like,
weird about that?
I keep up with, like, politics mm-hmm. as well. And then she starts talking about, yeah, I really like this one. Like, I don't like local news, no. But she didn't say why she didn't like local news, because I was about to hop in with, like, yeah, local news is so reactionary.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
she kept going before I could, like, edge that in, so mm-hmm. I can't get a read on her yet. And then she goes, I like this, like, online news place called Midas Touch, and I don't know what the fuck they are.
I've heard of it before.
I don't know what they are. I don't know their leanings. But it took everything in me to like try to work up the courage to be like, hey, yo, I like to listen to these guys called Head in the Office on TikTok.
You couldn't have snuck that in.
I couldn't fucking do it. I could not bring myself to shill that hard in the Men's Warehouse.
You couldn't have just snuck it in real quick, said, you know, you should join the Patreon.
I wish I would have. I was walking out the door and I was like, should I go back? But I was, nah, that's too extra. I couldn't do it.
I just looked up Midas Touch News and I'm not really seeing anything. So I have no idea what they are.
Because like, I feel like if it's like a super small one, it's like they're probably like reactionary as fuck.
Oh no, I think Midas Touch okay, I've seen their Twitter before.
I think
Midas Touch is kind of like a left-leaning democracy focused kind of
fuck
group.
I wish I would have known.
It's because I was thinking at first like Project Veritas type beat.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, but I don't think I see some like pro Raphael Warnock stuff. I see stuff about Joe Biden signing the Respect for Marriage Act into law, so I think they're pretty cool.
Damn.
So you could have gotten in there and you could have said Head in the Office is even better. Growing fuck. Podcasts, support local businesses. I'm in love with you.
Exactly.
This is the parasocial relationship.
Real. If any of you listeners live in the greater Lansing area and ever
find
get
her
fitted for a suit, hit the Men's Warehouse by Schuler Books and uh-huh. find her, get her talking about news and you're good.
Uh-huh.
Plug us real quick.
Exactly.
You'll,
do it.
Win an award.
That's
dare
praxis.
I say.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. While we may not have been placed on the New York Times top 10 podcast list.
Real shame, too.
I hope that we are in the top 10 podcast list inside of your heart.
Exactly.
That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly.
And to start off this episode, I'm, of course, going to remind you all, as always, to check out the Patreon, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Follow us everywhere. We're at Head in the Office on basically every social media platform you can find. But I do want to announce something really quickly.
Okay.
So we're coming up on the end of the year.
Yeah,
we're in the second week of December recording this episode right now. Our last episode is going to air on December 28th.
You hear end of the year and you start mm-hmm. thinking like, oh, end of the year.
Reflection.
Commemorate. Last year we had the hindsight is 2021 episode.
We did.
Usually, you know, end of the year is like award season.
And we've grown quite a bit since that episode.
We have. It's
been over almost a year.
You got the Oscars.
Uh-huh.
You got the Emmys. You got the Tonys.
You've got your favorite Orthodox rabbi.
Bill Clinton,
of course.
Absolutely. Why not throw in a little Hitto award show?
We are going to be doing a Hitto award show in 2 weeks on December 28th. That'll be our last episode of the year, a little award show where we'll be focusing on the most unhinged headlines, the worst person of 2022. Ugh. And we want your help because we're going to do some community pick awards.
Yes.
And you will have the ability to chime in, nominate some people, and vote on some winners of certain categories, which we'll fill you in on pretty soon.
Sometime during this week, we'll drop a Google form uh-huh. on like Instagram, YouTube, mm-hmm. Twitter.
Yeah.
The other one, maybe on TikTok, probably not.
We'll announce it everywhere. Well, you'll be able to find our information. We'll
throw
it in the description at some point. Y'all can fill out the Google form. It should be accessible to everybody as long as you like have an email account to use it.
Yeah.
You can drop your nominations for various categories, and then the next week we'll have you vote on like four or five different people or items or whatever within each category. And you can make your voice heard, and then we'll have an award show coming up on the 28th.
Exactly.
So very exciting.
And your votes are not meaningless unless they go against what I think should win.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
because
you know,
we will rig the election.
I do have veto power here.
Yeah, just know that even if you guys, you know, overwhelmingly vote for, say, Joe Biden as the worst person of 2022,
exactly.
we will overrule it.
100%.
We will throw a coup in the Google forms, and we'll do whatever we want.
I will bot it.
I will.
I will set up bot accounts.
You know what?
Just
I will
go there and spam the Google form. You know what? Actually, there's going to be no community member engagement at all. It's just going to be a battle between the bots I set up.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
there's nothing you can do.
Most of our listeners are probably bots, anyways. So y'all don't stand a chance. All the real people listening, y'all don't stand a chance. Anyways, welcome to this episode of Head in the Office, everybody. Today we got to talk about a little bit of terrorism. One of my favorite topics. We
got to
talk about some moral panics, and then Gage's two favorite things, crime and drugs.
Absolutely.
But before we get into that, as always, we're going to read off our one and only five-star review from Apple Podcasts. If you all want your five-star review read, as we do every single week,
classic.
Go leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it off next week. We'd be honored to read off your five-star review, honestly.
We would.
And I'm tired of asking.
And honestly, I said it a couple weeks ago, but... It's the holiday season. It's the season of giving.
Uh-huh.
You should be giving your five-star reviews on Apple.
Give us some fucking
words. And if
you're
in Canada or somewhere else and it's not showing up, you should be DMing us your five-star reviews on Instagram and check out the Instagram.
DM it to us, email it to us, become a patron, and then send it through direct messages because that's the one we check the most. So
exactly.
I don't know. Think about it. Think about it. But our one five-star review is from Ashton O. Subject line, add it to the pod rotation. They say, I'm not even sure how I found them. I'm pretty sure it was through TikTok. I've been listening to them for months now, and every time I turn on a podcast, I am enlightened to what is going on in our country. Not only do I enjoy catching up and listening, but it has helped me and it has helped one of my siblings open their eyes to how destructive our leaders, the red waves, can be. Don't get me wrong, they also talk about holding all leaders accountable too. They are informative, hilarious, and will brighten your day. 5 stars.
You know, actively doing radicalization. Actively indoctrinating the youth.
See, that was the goal. It was two goals. One,
two goals.
Indoctrinate the youth. Indoctrinate anyone that's willing to listen.
Uh-huh.
And two, shit on Republicans and Democrats as much as possible.
Three, make fuckloads of money.
Whoa, that is the third
that's
one?
That's the third one.
Haven't accomplished the third one just yet.
We're on our way, though.
Become the capitalist class and then switch up. That would be like an appendix to goal number three.
All I'm saying is, wouldn't it be so cool if my class interest aligned with billionaires?
Yeah, wouldn't it be so cool if one day our class interest aligns with billionaires and then also we switch up so dramatically that we alienate our entire original listening base?
What if I became like a Jimmy Dore or like a Glenn Greenwald and became a MAGA communist?
Yeah, that would be good.
Or a Tulsi Gabbard.
Look, I've been having the Twitter fingers the last week.
Uh-huh.
I won't lie. Elon Musk has radically improved the platform. Everything is better. So I've been tweeting a lot to support my my local billionaire.
Of course.
And I've been saying a lot that if we ever get approached by the CIA or the FBI or another three-letter organization and they offer us a large sum of money, I'm saying goodbye to the left.
Oh, God. Even just like... on a stepping stone to that path, which will happen eventually. I'm manifesting it here and now. Fucking throw some bands our way so that we can subscribe to Twitter Blue as a bit.
Exactly.
So we can have the blue check mark just as a bit.
And they get banned for posing as like fucking Raytheon and saying, we are never building any weapons ever again until the U.S. acknowledges what they've done.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good short-term goal. That's a smart goal.
Uh-huh.
It's specific. It's measurable.
Maybe that's our next Patreon goal.
It's
we'll pay for Twitter Blue and impersonate somebody.
It's achievable. It's timely and it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how those work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely. You should write a self-help book.
I should. I'll call it like 13 Rules for Life.
This is how the conversation went when we were like, we should start a podcast. It's time to get into the news.
Yep, yep.
So as I mentioned, we got to talk about a little bit of terrorism.
Okay.
And I want to start off today's show in North Carolina to talk about a little bit of terrorism out of North Carolina as a treat to warm you all up for this,
this
Wednesday
treat.
Afternoon, maybe Thursday morning when you're listening.
For all our NC listeners.
Exactly.
You know?
Maybe on your commute, you can think about some terrorism that happened in a small county in North Carolina.
Exactly.
So last Saturday, there was a power outage in Moore County, North Carolina, that left some 40,000 people without power for several days. Police right now are still investigating, but it's been confirmed that the power outage happened because of shots being fired into a local power substation. And residents living nearby also were able to confirm the shots when they were talking to the police because they heard them. And then about 30 minutes later, all of their power went out.
Mm-hmm.
Police are still investigating, as I said, but they're also investigating to see if it has any connection to a drag show that was supposed to happen in Moore County. At the same time, or right after the power shooting, or the shooting at the power station happened, obviously everywhere in the county, just about everywhere in the county, except for like, you know, critical infrastructure like hospitals and places that had backup generators, just about everywhere lost power, including the location where the drag show was going to be hosted.
Yeah.
Again, no definitive proof. There's no direct connection that I can draw between the shooting and then, you know, an hour later, the drag show that was supposed to happen or whatever. But a lot of people have been connecting the dots, and the police are investigating it to see if there is a connection there, because the times do coincide.
And it's hard not to go there after literal threats of violence at drag shows, after a literal act of violence at a drag show 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago is when the shooting happened, and just overall just rises in anti-LGBTQ rhetoric.
Oh yeah, big time.
Like, it's a little too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, and like, even if it's proved, which I don't know how you would prove that there's no connection.
Yeah.
But even if at some point it's proved that there was absolutely no connection, they did it for some other reason, you couldn't really blame us for making the connection.
It's worth looking into.
Given the context of the nationwide media narrative that like trans people are corrupting children somehow, you couldn't blame us for making that connection. But regardless, even if there is no connection, this is absolutely an act of domestic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no power for 40,000 people in the winter. And I know North Carolina is not the coldest state in the union, but still, in the winter, that's pretty bad. That's an act of terror.
No power in general, just kind of bad.
Yeah, really bad, really bad. But the reason that I say that there might be a connection and that it's more than just speculation mm-hmm. is because the FBI is currently investigating the situation to be possibly connected to stopping the drag show and also similar attacks out of Oregon and Washington.
Connect, like they were homies?
No, not homies, but okay. An ideological connection,
nice.
A similar ideological thread. So the ones, a similar situation happened in Oregon and Washington, I think before the North Carolina power outage. There were power substations that were attacked. There wasn't a drag show happening nearby, mm-hmm. but it was still power substations that were attacked with firearms in a similar capacity.
Yeah.
And I have a quote from The Guardian. They said, quote, a U.S. Department of Homeland Security report released in January warned that domestic extremists have been developing, quote, credible, specific plans to attack electricity infrastructure since at least 2020. The DHS has cited a document shared on a Telegram channel used by extremists that included a white supremacist guide to attacking an electric grid with firearms,
what?
CNN reported. Quote, these fringe groups have been talking about this for a long time, Taylor said. And Taylor's the person being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I'm not surprised that this happened. I'm surprised it's taken this long. So we have seemingly an ideological connection between various different acts of terror on power substations, where it seems that white supremacist groups have been creating guides to destroy local infrastructure for electricity.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
But communists and trans people and gay people pose a threat to the country.
It's the socialists that are dangerous. It's the socialists posting on Twitter that are dangerous.
Now, of course, this isn't meant to scare you. There's a very small likelihood that your local power substation is going to be attacked. But targeting infrastructure is a common act of terrorism mm-hmm. for small terror cells. And it's also a common act that just like terrorist groups in general will employ when they're trying to pursue some kind of agenda, even if your location doesn't have the perceived threat, right?
Yeah.
Just the possibility that it may contain a perceived threat is enough usually for terrorist groups to act. And to be clear, white supremacist groups are terrorist groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been identified as such by groups like the Department of Justice, even under President Trump.
It may have taken a little too long to identify groups like the KKK as terrorist organizations, but it's happening.
For sure, for sure. And undeniably, as we mentioned before, if the one in North Carolina was motivated to end the drag show, it was absolutely motivated by the right-wing narrative that's been pushed for the last several months that somehow drag queen story hours, you know, corrupting the children, is transing the children.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's ironic if it is connected that, you know, they claim to be so worried about children and they want to protect children so bad that they would cut off power for 40,000 people, definitely some of which were children.
For many children, many more children than ever would have gone to a drag show.
Yeah. During,
ever.
During the winter where, you know, babies need things like heat in order to survive. It seems, I guess we shouldn't expect consistency out of fascist ideologies is what I'll say.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's like, even just like on a sideshow about like all the drag show, it's specifically mm-hmm. rhetoric that's been going around, the like what conservatives get on the airwaves and preach. Obviously their ideal situation is for absolutely no one to be gay ever,
of course,
and everyone to just be straight and whatever,
yeah,
just for no members of the LGBTQ uh-huh. to exist. But what they get on, what people like Ben Shapiro get on the airwaves and say is that, well, I just like don't want to see it, they don't need to shove their lifestyle down my face.
Yeah
A drag show's like the epitome of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know where the fuck any drag shows are.
You got to seek it out.
You have to seek it out to uh-huh. go to it. You don't accidentally stumble into a drag show.
Right.
Like, if you're doing that, like, you just fucking leave. You just walk away and leave because it's like, okay, this just isn't for me.
Right.
That's it.
Like, they make it seem as though there are people picking up children in white vans and forcibly making them watch a drag show that is purposefully, explicitly sexual.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of hoops you got to jump through to make that happen.
It's like, hey, kid, I'm going to take you to drag queen story hour. Nobody. Don't tell your mom.
It isn't happening. And, like, even more so, people are always saying, oh, well, it's happening at schools. There was this recent thing that came out about it happening at some private school.
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, it is very rarely ever happening where kids are like forced to go to a drag show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would assume very few schools have actually had drag shows out of the ones that have.
Yeah.
And out of the ones that have, if they have been like explicitly sexual, you're targeting a very, like, one instance, one case of something pretty weird happening by school officials that are probably a little fucked up.
Which, like, yeah, and I'll say it's a little weird. Right. Like, okay.
Exactly. But it's like, you can't use that to then generalize and condemn an entire marginalized group that has existed for all of human history.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, Jesus Christ.
Especially when it's like, I'm willing to bet that a significant number of people that are mad that fell into the moral panic about drag shows didn't even fucking know what a drag show was.
Right, exactly.
Like, they never even heard of a drag show before this.
Yeah, and that'll tie in with moral panics in general that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, the previous, I guess, current as well, outrage about, like, gay marriage being legalized. It's the same thing as, like, back in, like, the 1970s where women were, like, getting rights and able to do things. It's the same thing as critical race theory that we saw like just about a year ago where people were losing their mind about critical race theory literally out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened to coincide with a time that a black woman was going up to be on the Supreme Court. But yeah, I mean, it's all moral panics. None of it actually means anything, but they are able to weaponize that to, I don't know, push their agenda. And it just so happens to motivate some pretty extreme people to do some pretty extreme things.
What was the fucking book that, like, Ted Cruz brought out? It was, like, something about teaching CRT to babies, like, at Jackson's hearing.
Oh, some shit about a racist baby.
It was,
I don't,
like,
remember.
Is this baby racist? That shit, oh my God.
Yes.
What a gas clip.
I love that.
What a gas clip.
My favorite thing ever is when members of Congress bring out those big-ass boards.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, some they made someone on their team put time and energy into either, like, printing that off or making that chart.
They went to Walgreens and printed this.
Yeah, like, they had to, first, they spent congressional resources. Because, like, their office is getting amount of money. They spent their money on
they
that.
They spent my taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, they spent money on that. And then they dedicated time to a staffer who I hope is paid. They dedicated that time to the staffer getting that printed off and ready and prepping for that presentation.
No, honestly.
That's where our taxpayer money's going.
That staffer is probably some kid that paid to do an internship. Like, we talked about this,
credit.
I think, like, a year ago. Like, there's this one service, I can't remember what it was. You pay, like, $10,000 and they just place you in an internship.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, one, working for free. I did it all last year in a lab and I fucking hated it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine paying to work.
Hopefully they don't take your credits away for saying that.
For, like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
Yeah, it's not great. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we move on to my favorite state, Florida.
Okay.
Is that you've noticed over the last several months since the Trump raid by the FBI at Mar-a-Lago, we've noticed that the right wing has continuously said, like, defund the FBI. Yeah. It hasn't been a huge narrative since the Trump raid stuff, but you'll see every once in a while Ted Cruz or, like, a Rand Paul or someone just pop up and say, like, we need to defund the FBI. I think maybe it was Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert. One of the two introduced a bill in the House to defund the FBI.
That's so cool.
Never going to pass.
Never.
Especially because it's all just rhetoric and it's all just like fear-mongering over, like, the FBI is going to come and, like, I don't know, do something bad to you even though
if this can happen to President Trump,
exactly.
This can happen to you. Because he's just like me for real.
It's all fear-mongering and too many of the Republican Party establishment people rely on the FBI to, like, you know, do political attacks on people. So it's not actually going to get defunded. But I think my prediction here is that we're going to see more defund the FBI type rhetoric pop up because the FBI at its heart is a status quo organization, right?
Yeah.
They have always functioned to maintain the status quo and to deal with threats that they perceive to the current U.S. Domestic order, right?
Like JFK.
Exactly. Well, you probably like JFK. But back in the, you know, the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, the main target of the FBI was labor movements and black power movements.
And a president.
And JFK, John F. Kennedy. But those were their main targets, were those three. And they took out those three, right? They stunted all the labor movements.
Let me tell you.
They stunted the labor movements in the United States. They killed all the leaders of the black power movement, and they killed JFK.
Yeah.
So they maintained the status quo back then. And now they will also maintain the status quo now. And if it means that right-wing groups are going to be challenging the status quo, they will also target right-wing groups. They're nothing more than a status quo organization. And that will mean, as long as there's not a fascist in power of the government, that the FBI will represent some kind of threat to right-wing movements. And they're going to continue to say we need to defund the FBI until they get in charge. And then suddenly all those accusations and advocacy will disappear.
It's like, I feel like this rhetoric all started like with January 6th, or at least it got way more popular with January 6th and people like Tucker Carlson getting on and talking about how actually January 6th was a honeypot. And oh, all of these right-wing domestic terror efforts are honeypots. And it started even before that when they said it was actually Antifa that did all of these right-wing riots. It was actually Antifa that did violence at protests. It wasn't a right-winger because none of us would ever do that.
Right.
And then it just escalated from being Antifa, because I guess Antifa's not popular anymore, to it's the FBI. And then actually, this is Biden's corrupt Department of Justice. Why aren't they pursuing the Hunter Biden laptop story? And then they latch on to the stupidest fucking things, like the Hunter Biden laptop story, to prove their point, because they have like nothing, kind of.
Yeah.
They don't have the analysis to actually go into things like what we talk about with the FBI maintaining status quo. They can't do any of that.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, it's because the FBI throughout history is most definitely not a leftist organization.
Absolutely not.
There's not a shred of evidence to ever suggest the FBI has supported any left-wing movements literally anywhere, especially domestically. Like, there's just no evidence to suggest that. But they have to find a way to fearmonger about the government being a threat to them. Otherwise, there's no justification for anything that they do.
Yeah.
There has to be an existential threat. Otherwise, what's the point in hating gay people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what's the, because if there's no threat, if there's no state that is attempting to, you know, take away their rights or destroy white Christianity or fucking whatever, if that doesn't exist, then suddenly they look like the bad guys, and they can't look like the bad
guys. If there's no state that they can perceive to be overreaching, if there's no government acting in a very big way, then what does it matter when they talk about small government, when people don't perceive government to be intertwined with their daily lives,
exactly,
like how they want you to think the FBI is? Because if it can happen to Trump,
exactly,
if they're going to raid Mar-a-Lago, imagine what they're going to do to your little three-story house.
That would be crazy.
In the middle of Austin.
If they like got a confidential informant to infiltrate, you know, some popular movement, and then they killed one of the main leaders of that movement in Chicago, that would be fucking
that
wild.
That would be nuts.
And then, like, in his home?
Lied about it.
And then, yeah, and then lied about it.
Collaborated
only
with the Chicago PD and lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanton firing through the apartment. Crazy.
That would be insane if, like, they found a confidential informant that was inside your organization to, you know, mix it all up. Then they got, like, an exact layout of your apartment building and then infiltrated it with the local PD and then killed leaders after they drugged them so they were immobilized. That would be really sad if they did that to anybody throughout history.
I can't imagine our FBI doing that.
No, they definitely not. Definitely not. Well, maybe not that they're a leftist organization.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I think that kind of moral panic segues us pretty nicely into our next topic.
Oh, the Sunshine State.
Which is Florida and the woke mind virus.
Let's go.
We got to talk about the woke mind virus because Gage has been infected.
It's a pandemic.
Gage has been infected.
It's a pandemic out here.
It's a communicable disease, and I'm at risk of getting it. So we got to talk about Florida, and we've talked about this law before, but there's some interesting implications that have recently developed. So let's talk about the Stop Woke Act. Do you remember that one?
Oh, that sounds like a great bill.
The Stop Woke Act, we talked about it several months ago. I think it was probably like beginning of the summer.
Honestly,
at this
the
point.
One, the only one I really remember is the Don't Say Gay bill, and I think this got like sandwiched in with the Don't Say Gay stuff.
It's its own bill, but it's similar in purpose. It's the one where it bans teachers from teaching critical race theory and it bans employers from doing CRT training, whatever that means.
So cool.
And I would assume it just means like diversity training.
Probably
like,
any form of diversity training.
And the original critique we had, which this isn't even what the section's about. We're not even critiquing the bill again. But the original critique we had is like, I thought you loved free market capitalism. Why don't you let business owners do whatever they want?
Yeah.
Especially like making sure your employees aren't racist. Like that'll lose you money. You know what I mean?
For real. For real.
And, like, the state needs that.
Especially in the day of cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Florida.
They're trying to protect themselves.
In a state like Florida, that's only good for like going and spending money. What else would you go to Florida for?
Protect themselves from the woke mob. Come on now.
Yeah, true, true, true. Anyway, we're talking about this act and I found out what the acronym means. I didn't know at the time.
Dude, one, if a bill has a corny acronym, it's a bad bill.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
At this point, if a conservative pushes a bill and it's got any sort of acronym in the title, it's a fucking bad bill.
Well, yeah, because it's a, what's it called? A double innuendo? What is it?
Double entendre?
Double entendre. That's what it is. Because it has, it's Stop Woke, right? And that already has a meaning. Yeah, at least
that's
to them.
What the meaning of the bill is.
But the acronym is, it's the Stop Wrongs to Our Kids and Employees Act.
Fuck off. They paid some intern, like, probably minimum wage to come up with that. Like, yeah. That's crazy. It's not even creative and fun.
No, it's not creative and fun, but it gets the point across, I guess. And yeah. That's what it's known as, is the Stop Woke Act. And the claim, of course, is that, you know, teaching critical race theory creates a hostile classroom or work environment. And we don't even need to debate if that's true, but the point of this section is that it's being challenged in court right now, right? Because there are clear, very obvious First Amendment violations. Mm-hmm. Because the bill is unambiguously a restriction of free speech.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, even if you make the argument that teachers are employees of the state, therefore have to listen to the directives of the state, whatever. But like private businesses, clear First Amendment violations. You can't say that you can't teach about CRT. So right now, the bill is being challenged in court, I believe in a Florida court, and it's been temporarily blocked. So it's not in place right now.
Ooh.
It's been blocked by a judge. And the judge actually, I read some of the, in the article I was reading, some of the judge's like transcript or whatever, their ruling was included in the article.
Okay.
And he low-key tore it apart.
Let's go.
He made an actual 1984 reference. Not even joking. Like, he made an actual, like, apt 1984 wow. reference where he was saying that DeSantis trying to limit free speech in the name of freedom is like 1984. So, yeah, he said, no.
I think that's the first time I've heard 1984 in Florida in the same sentence and it actually be just and make sense.
Yeah. It's like a correct interpretation of the text. But what's more interesting is that this judge, within this ruling, within the part of the trial, he forced DeSantis to define what woke means.
No way.
Their team had to legally offer a definition of what woke means for this bill, right? Because the word woke is in the text of the bill, and it claims like certain things, certain woke policies can't be used, right?
Oh, yeah. So you have to define that if you want it in the law.
And but before I get into exactly what like DeSantis's policy team was saying, I saw this... The meanest infographic I've ever seen.
Real?
And it was the Stop Woke Act, but like DeSantis' team made an infographic, an Instagrammable infographic. And it was basically saying exactly what you expect. Like, you know, you can't teach people CRT and stuff.
Not
like
them
that.
Co-opting the like, so you want to talk about type post.
That's exactly what it was. It was the honestly deserves a hit of
honestly,
award.
We should have reposted it. We should have reposted it.
It was great. But I got a quote from the Washington Post. They're defining woke here. It says, Ryan Newman, DeSantis' general counsel, said that the term referred to, quote, the belief that there are systemic injustices in American society and the need to address them. Taryn Fenske, DeSantis' communication director, said that, quote, woke was a slang term for progressive activism, adding that the term also referred to a belief that there are systemic injustices in the United States. So to the DeSantis team, in legal terms, woke means that there is systemic injustice.
It's so funny because they think that they genuinely believe conservatives who are into all this woke bullshit, for lack of a better term, conservatives generally believe that there are systemic injustices just against white people.
Yeah.
Like when they say that, I have the same stats as a black person, the black person's going to get hired. They are saying they believe that is a systemic injustice.
And that was my initial reaction. When I read that, I was thinking, how then are they going to start claiming that white people are somehow an oppressed group? Because that is core to their belief system, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, it's not true. It's just a reaction to all actual evidence that suggests that people of color are oppressed
like
and not white people.
It's the opposite, actually.
Of course, their brains are wired backwards. But how are they then going to claim in, you know, whether it be employee trainings or workplace environments or in classrooms, how are they going to have the people that are a part of their movement now claim that white people are oppressed? Because according to this legal language that was a part of a court case, there are no systemic injustices in America. That's what Ron DeSantis' team believes, and that's what they intend with this legislation.
It's still so fucking vague. That's like if I ushered forth the Stop Malarkey bill, and they asked me to define malarkey, and I said bad, anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
yeah, no, exactly.
It's about the same.
Anything I disagree with, which further reinforces that this is explicitly a violation of First Amendment rights.
Especially when people just fundamentally disagree on what a systemic injustice is.
Right. So Ron DeSantis, he wants to legislate away the possibility of teaching quote-unquote woke topics. And by woke topics, he legally means he doesn't want people to be teachers to be able to teach that there are ongoing systemic injustices in the United States. He does not want teachers to be able to teach you that the historical effects of institutions like slavery or Jim Crow or mass incarceration or other legalized forms of segregation, he wants teachers to not be able to teach that those are issues that are afflicting us today. I don't understand how you interpret this in any other way other than this is explicitly trying to protect structural racism.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing defense for systemic racism.
Insane. You're saying, because if this were to pass into law, you were saying that even in, like, an AP economics class at a high school, your AP economics teacher couldn't come up to you or teach the class that, like, hey, actually, due to historical effects of redlining, mm-hmm. we see that during the 2008 housing crisis, black families lost more equity in their homes than mm-hmm. white families did and were thus disproportionately affected.
Yeah.
That would be illegal.
Yes.
That's such a fucking tame take, too.
Under Ron DeSantis's legal counsel, like under what they said, you would not be able to say that in a classroom. You have to willingly close your eyes in order to not see that systemic injustice exists. You have to purposefully ignore all available evidence to interpret the facts to say that systemic justice doesn't exist. Systemic racism doesn't exist. And he wants students and teachers to close their fucking eyes.
Just scream, I'm not listening.
I guess he wants education to not be illuminating. Like, I thought the point of all of this was to get past all of the issues that are plaguing us. But I guess in his mind, white privilege and systemic racism, wealth inequality and along racial lines, none of that exists because that's woke ideology.
That's so fucking funny. Like, these people went to, like, law schools mm-hmm. and shit.
Yes.
Like, back in high school, I felt bad about not getting into a crazy good school. But now, no the fuck I don't. It uh-huh. doesn't fucking matter. Uh-huh. It really doesn't.
Clearly not.
As we're going to talk about later with the Supreme Court, they all went to, like, Ivy Leagues, and they're fucking stupid.
The second part of this that gets me, though, is that it said the need to address them, right? Like, that's a part of woke ideology.
Yeah.
Wanting to do something about problems that are empirically, verifiably true mm-hmm. is somehow woke and, subsequently, somehow bad in the eyes of right-wingers. That's crazy to me. Taking a principled moral stance against progress in general. Like, how do you do this? As a politician, no less. Like, you had to run for office. You had to attain the job that you have with the will of the voters, and you're taking a principled stance against making progress. It's just, I don't understand how we got here.
None of it fucking works. And even going back to the thing about, like, anti-LGBTQ discourse, because, again, it was, like, kind of a slow week, right? So anytime there's a slow yeah. news week, the conservatives just immediately go back to hating gay people
yeah.
and immediately find
the
most
Supreme Court.
Yeah, the most obscure fucking thing they can say to hate gay people. Like Ben Shapiro, he did another fucking segment.
Oh, he had a whole new
week.
Take. Yeah, I was exactly. going to mention that a little bit later.
But, like, fundamentally, just, what can be wrong about a boy liking a boy uh-huh. or a girl liking a girl?
Or understanding that black people have historically been wronged and that still has effects to this day.
It's like you have to jump through so many fucking mental hoops to be anti any of these positions.
To be conservative.
Like, it's baffling. It's genuinely baffling to me.
Yeah, I don't understand. But I have some real world examples for what Ron DeSantis considers to be woke.
Sick.
There was a list within this article, and I think it bears repeating. So when Disney spoke out against the Don't Say Gay Act, a private corporation making their views heard after being pressured from yep. their workers, and the view that they expressed wasn't even that severe.
No.
They just said, like, we don't agree with this. Ron DeSantis thinks that's woke.
That's
and he used the power of the state to punish them, like, economically.
Yeah.
He punished Disney. He came out and said that Ben and Jerry's, when they spoke out against Israel's treatment of Palestinians, he said that was woke.
Sick.
Because I remember,
speaking out against human rights abuses.
Yeah, well, that's too woke. That's woke progressivism, and that needs to be stopped. Do not teach that to my kids.
No.
I think it was because Ben and Jerry's was operating inside of Israel for a time.
And then they removed a store.
Yeah, they removed their store, yeah. and they were like, because of, you know, the human rights abuses yeah. of Palestinians, we're not going to operate in Israel anymore. And I think that's what he called woke.
So cool.
That's pretty cool. He said that it was woke when the NCAA said they're not going to be in Florida if they ban trans athletes from sports. That was too woke for him. In general, there's been various times where he said something along the lines of, like, you know, teaching kids about enter X LGBTQ topic is uh-huh. too woke. Can't do that. And also, there was the classic episode that we dedicated to this topic. Math textbooks with critical race theory in them are too woke.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some real world examples of woke things in Ron DeSantis's mind. Undeniably, a restriction of free speech, because wokeism somehow bad. So that's pretty
bad.
Fun. I also want to talk about, you know, have you ever heard the term cultural Marxism?
Yeah.
So this is the thing.
Jordan Peterson term.
Yeah, well, it is a Jordan Peterson term. That's yeah. important to note. And also, it's a term that Ron DeSantis has used. And
what
he's been using
is
more
he
and more.
Dropping that for?
He's, well, I'll explain why.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, cultural Marxism is this idea that, you know, white Christianity or just society, the fabric of society in general, mm-hmm. is under attack by liberal progressives that are somehow imposing Marx's idea of dialectical materialism, which we don't even need to get into that.
Yeah.
They're imposing Marx's idea of dialectical materialism, but to the culture war. into culture in general as a way to phase out, you know, traditional Western Christian ways of doing things, right?
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, culture is under attack by progressive liberals.
Cool. This,
the idea of cultural Marxism stems from another term, cultural Bolshevism.
I was just about to say.
And do you know where cultural Bolshevism comes from?
Anti-Semitism.
It comes from anti-Semitism, and it comes from the Nazis.
That's right!
Back in the 1930s, one of the main motivators behind the Nazis as an ideology, but also as a political group that was attaining political power, was cultural Bolshevism, right? Yeah. This idea that liberal progressives are taking over society and trying to phase white Christianity, traditional norms out of society and, you know, take control and supplant themselves or supplant white Christians as the dominant ethnic group in society or whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was tied up in, you know, Jewish people are taking over the world, cabal of pedophiles, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, this idea of cultural Marxism stems from cultural Bolshevism and is unambiguously Nazi rhetoric. And I think that's really fun. It's they're creating another caricature that is like explicitly from Nazi propaganda to justify their hatred.
When like maybe not necessarily the leading front runner for GOP presidential nominee in 2024, but up there with the leading front runners, definitely number two at the very least, is just spewing, dare I say, Nazi adjacent rhetoric.
Oh, I mean, I think it's like
explicitly Nazi rhetoric.
Because it's just like
yeah.
Bolshevism. Bolshevism was, wasn't that the party? The Bolsheviks were the party in Russia, during the Russian Revolution. And cultural Bolshevism cultural Marxism. It's the same thing. They're directly connected. Marxism and Bolshevism are obviously intertwined.
I know the through line. However, exactly. I just don't know the exact history of the pre-World War II shit. Well, I'm not like a 50-year-old dad.
Neither do they.
You know?
it's Nazi propaganda. And that leads me into the last thing I want to talk about with Florida.
The segues this episode.
Leads me into the last thing, and that's moral panics.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what is coming out of Florida right now with the Stop Woke Act. But my broader point is that all of Republican Party politics and all of American conservatism at this point, to be honest, revolves around moral panics.
Yeah.
Just in general, their entire media apparatus, all of their politics revolves around moral panics. They have shed all semblance of having an actual economic policy. They shed all talk about like fiscal responsibility within conservatism. That doesn't exist anymore. All they talk about now is moral panic type issues. It's all, you know, the trans panic,
wokeism.
Right. Wokeism, groomers in the schools, 10,000% increase in crime, gay people being married, you know, communists are taking over the FBI and the government. All of it is just fake narratives that they make up to justify them having no real takes on any of the issues and to scare people into voting for them and also to appeal to the furthest right wing of this country to earn votes.
Exactly. And because it's always an issue that they can push further to the right. Yeah. They can't sit there and die on the hill of gas prices, right?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know what gas prices are like for you guys, but for us right now, gas prices are less than $3. Like gas prices went down again. What the fuck are they going to say about that?
Exactly.
Like all their bitching and moaning just stopped. One, because they were fundamentally wrong.
Yep.
And if conservatives, their base, actually genuinely cared about these issues and cared about solutions that conservatives proposed, they would see gas prices are down again. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Clearly, these are subject to market forces, and Joe Biden doesn't have the gas up button, because why would he press the gas down button after the midterms?
And the thing here is, like, obviously, a lot of what they say, or basically all of what they say within their little moral panics are lies, right?
Absolutely.
They make all of it up because they don't have any actual position on any of the real economic issues that we talk about, because they're wrong on all of the issues. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, and maybe this is just a symptom of me being a young person, but I feel like, you know, during the Barack Obama era, they at least tried to offer some facade of having an economic policy.
There were more,
but
some,
now they don't.
Like more libertarians. Make libertarians great again.
It's not even just that. It's like back then, I feel like they at least tried to have an actual principled, at least, you know, ostensibly, I don't know, normal take on economics.
Yeah.
And now all they talk about is, you know, trans people are groomers, inner city thugs are going to kill your entire white family, your precious white family, and I don't know, crime is up 1,000,000%.
Yeah, you had your it's John McCain's. War. There were a lot more John McCain's back then.
Right.
It's because people wanted to work together more.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, there's often a question around, do right-wingers, do all of them actually believe in the lies that they push? Do they all actually believe in the moral panics that they engage in, the fear-mongering that they do? And I'm going to offer a take.
Oh,
something I've never done this on the show. Never offered a take
I've
before.
Never given a take.
It doesn't matter. No. I don't think it matters. Because back in the 1960s, when the country was slowly becoming not racist, after the Civil Rights Movement.
Still
and the passage,
working on that one.
It was, yeah, of course. We're getting through
it's a work in progress.
After, you know, the 1960s and 1970s, when the Civil Rights Act passed and it slowly became politically unviable to be openly racist, there were still a lot of racist people in the country.
Yeah.
But you couldn't be, of course, openly racist, otherwise you wouldn't win elections. So people like Richard Nixon and other Republicans developed what was called the Southern Strategy, right? They knew that these people were really dumb, but they themselves were also racist, and they wanted to find a way to maintain racial hierarchy without being explicitly racist, right? There's well-documented, even recorded tapes of instances of them planning this, saying, like, we can't say the N-word anymore, so we have to talk about issues like forced busing. Yeah. We have to talk about school integration to scare people into not supporting policies that will extend rights to black people.
It's a historical fact.
Exactly. Yeah, we have lots of evidence
for undeniable.
This. And now today, the Southern Strategy is transformed into something like, you know, talking about immigrants all the time, talking about still black people in inner cities, talking about trans people in the classroom, grooming your children. It's all an extension of the Southern Strategy. And since at least the point when conservatives were in the Republican Party, like after the party switch, after all of that settled, when the Republican Party was decidedly conservative, since at least that point, they have been explicitly making an effort to include Nazis and white supremacists within their ranks. And the reason for that is votes. You have to be able to get a majority of, well, not in the Electoral College.
Yeah.
But in a lot of places, you got to be able to get a majority of votes in order to win elections.
They have to get as many votes as they can, and they need to appease all of the way larger than it should be portion of the American electorate that are Nazi adjacent.
Exactly. And that's why it was called the Southern Strategy, because a lot of people in the South were still racist because of, you know, slavery, Jim Crow, segregation. The Klan, of course, all that kind of stuff. So they needed to find a way to appease those voters.
Yeah.
While also not alienating the other majority part of the country that didn't really like explicit racism anymore.
But we're okay to find a way to do with, that. But we're okay with pearl clutching.
We're okay with pearl clutching, and we're also susceptible to the fear-mongering that they would eventually do and are still doing to this
crime as a nebulous concept. Like what we talked about a couple weeks ago on Hard for Crime.
Exactly. And so the reason I say it doesn't matter if they believe it is because all that matters right now, and has really all that, the only thing that's ever mattered in terms of their moral panics is how effective it is.
Yeah.
Because throughout the last several decades, they have been very effective in appealing to the far right reaches of the country, the Nazis and the white supremacists, while also hitting the voters that are afraid of black people in inner cities, but aren't explicitly racist, or at least don't think that they're explicitly racist. You know what I mean? So now they've pulled the country so far right, and they continue to pull the country so far right, that it doesn't matter if they actually believe in it. Take Tucker Carlson, for example.
Okay.
If you're watching a broadcast, it doesn't matter if he actually believes great replacement theory is happening. It doesn't matter if he actually believes immigration is a true crisis, or it doesn't matter if he actually believes that black people are somehow inherently more criminal than white people are. None of that actually matters.
Yeah.
What matters is that he's effectively pulling the country further to the right, because his listeners believe him.
Oh, absolutely.
He's effectively pulling the country further to the right, and that makes fertile ground for that truly believe the most hateful things to rise to power and eventually take power. It doesn't matter if they believe in their moral panics. What matters is that they are pulling the country further to the right and making them much, much more hateful.
It's even if you want a more palpable example, it's just like all the abortion debates that have been going on throughout the past months. We know that conservatives like Herschel Walker do not really give a fuck about abortion, as we can see by the receipts leaking for Herschel Walker and his base not giving a fuck because, oh, Herschel Walker had one abortion, but Raphael Warnock's going to sponsor many with my tax dollars.
It's a utilitarian understanding.
And even going back further to something more broad, when Lindsey Graham introduced his abortion bill, because I guess he's the one fucking nerd that genuinely cares.
Lindsey Graham's the moderate now.
When he introduced the abortion bill, the nationwide abortion ban, every single person in the right-wing media fucking freaked out because they realized we are only using abortion as this one issue, as this way to get one issue voters onto our side so we can cling on to as much power as we fucking can, because they don't fucking care. They are all having their mistresses get abortions no matter what. And with Herschel Walker, it's just a fact.
And the thing is that historically, the United States has been obviously a very racist place.
Yeah.
Well, what a lot of people don't understand is that we've also been a very anti-Semitic place for quite a long time. Ever since the inception of the country, really, people were pretty biased against Jewish people because a lot of, you know, the invaders from this country were European, and Europeans didn't like Jewish people very much. But even right before World War II, we were pretty explicitly anti-Semitic. We had an entire movement at, and some of you may have seen the images at Madison Square Garden. There was the linking of, you know, historical U.S. iconography with Nazi propaganda.
Yeah.
Because there was a huge group of people in the United States that supported the Nazi movement. They eventually faded away because we went to war with the Nazis, and you'd get the shit beaten out of you.
Had to hide.
Exactly.
We used to punch Nazis.
Yeah. We used to be a good, real country.
Yeah.
But back then, they were pretty explicitly anti-Semitic, but they just had to hide. And those voters still existed. And those voters had children that they raised to be anti-Semitic and racist and bigoted in other ways. And those voters have always existed, and they continue to exist. And as long as the right-wing media and the right-wing establishment and just conservatives in general are willing to continue to pull their populace further and further to the right, they're going to continue to engage in these moral panics because that's all they have. Nothing else they believe in is real. Mm-mm. Nothing else they believe in would be good for people. No one's going to vote for them if all they want to do explicitly, like if they're telling the truth, if all they want to do is like cut taxes for the rich, that's entirely unpopular.
Oh yeah, and those are the only genuine positions they take.
Exactly.
Even when you look at some motherfucker like Rand Paul, the big libertarian guy in Congress, mm-hmm. when he opposes those funding HEMA bills, he's just doing it to cling on to the libertarians in Kentucky.
Oh yeah.
He's just doing it to cling on to his image as a fucking libertarian. I'm sure he doesn't genuinely care about, he's not taking a principled stance about like disaster relief, mm-hmm. because he voted for disaster relief when it was his own state that got hit. Same thing happened with, I believe, Marco Rubio or Rick Scott, one of the Florida representatives.
Yeah.
They voted against relief, and then when Hurricane whatever the fuck hit Florida earlier this year, they begged for it again. It's not principled stances.
And Ron DeSantis did the same thing when he was in the House of Representatives. Yeah, exactly. They don't have any real principled stances, so they have to do these moral panics, and the moral panics are usually pretty successful, and they continue to pull the country further and further to the right, so it doesn't matter if they don't actually believe in them. It doesn't matter if at the end of the day they were like, oh, well, I was just doing politics.
Yeah.
They don't deserve any good faith.
No.
They do not deserve any of your gratuity or any of your, I don't know, generosity when it comes to giving them the benefit of the doubt. They are simply evil.
Speaking of giving them the benefit of the doubt and good faith conversation, I got to rant a little bit about the last TikTok that went viral.
Okay.
The one we started off with, hot take, there are no good Nazis.
Okay, yeah.
So many motherfuckers in those comments got in to say, what about Schindler? Like, come on, dog. You're going out of your way to play devil's advocate for the Nazis? Mm,
you don't have to.
Who the fuck are you?
You do not have to play
That's
devil's advocate.
The one group.
Also, like, it's really easy, even like if you are a Nazi, which I don't know why you'd be listening, but like even if you were a Nazi, it's pretty easy to say like, oh yeah, I hate Nazis, because Nazis are like, you know, not culturally accepted, at least I hope,
and
not culturally accepted and won't be moving forward. So you can pretty easily say like, yeah, Nazis are bad.
And the fucking popular Nazis in American media all disavow other Nazis as a way to survive, like we talked about last time.
Exactly. So it's not very hard to do that, but the amount of people that showed up in our comments and were just like, actually, Jewish people do run the world. It's, I was like, you don't have to admit this.
No one, like,
you're not being interrogated. Why are you saying this? Like, it's just fucking insane. Like, they're so brazen. They're
Absolutely.
So bold.
And then a lot of people started talking about, like, oh, there was a 200 comment fucking debate going on with this one dude who was just defending Nazis in the weirdest fucking ways, right? Like, someone's like, no, Nazis just bad. And he said, what about all the Nazis that came here to work for NASA? NASA. That was bad.
Operation Paperclip was not good.
Like, how do you defend that? How do you think, yeah, but actually that was a good thing? I'm a utilitarian, and I recognize.
What about the Nazis that created the cameras that Kanye uses?
Like, what about Hitler? Microphones. Hitler made the microphone, the popular mic that rappers
use. What about the art that Hitler made? What about that?
What about all the wonderful 8-lane highways we drive on to get to work every day?
Yeah, no, it's not great. But that leads me to the last point I wanted to make, which is about the Ben Shapiro video that he released recently. The moral panics that these people engage in, they're always constantly expanding, right? They have to expand. Otherwise, if the threat isn't ballooning, if it's not growing in some way, if it doesn't pose some existential societal-wide threat to everybody, then there's no justification for the war that they want to wage against it. Mm-hmm. And Ben Shapiro just did this, like, on our timelines recently, expanding the threat, because he had this take, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, grooming isn't just when you're priming children for sexual acts.
He changed the definition.
He said, grooming is also when you indoctrinate children into believing a quote-unquote perverse ideology.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what grooming is.
No, literally, like, make a different word.
He said, grooming is when grooming doesn't happen.
Like, yeah. He says he proposes an alternate definition for grooming. And then it's like, okay. And then you can just back, you can just defend yourself when you're talking about these things by backing into the position of, oh, I'm actually using this alternate definition for grooming that people are referring mm-hmm. to, when he knows damn well that when most people on the ground, the people that listen to his show, go out and call trans people groomers, mm-hmm. they are not thinking, oh, you're politically indoctrinating these kids. They're thinking that they're trying to be child predators uh-huh. because uh-huh. that's the stage that's been set. That's how language works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's another classic example of conservatives not knowing how language works uh-huh. and just changing the meaning of words and moving the goalposts in real time.
Words can mean whatever I want.
Exactly. But it's also like, what do you think, like, dear listener, what do you think is accomplished by linking the idea of indoctrinating children to believe in ideology, mm-hmm. believe in an ideology, and grooming, right?
Yeah. What do you think is accomplished by using that to that one word, very negative connotations?
Exactly.
To do both things.
Exactly. Because in Ben Shapiro's mind, a perverse ideology is believing that trans women are women, believing yeah. that gay people should be allowed to marry, etc. You know, other accepting, inclusive beliefs. And by linking that with grooming, as we've been saying for months, as long as this narrative has existed, you are, again, justifying violence towards groups that identify with the LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. And we've been saying this for a while and saying, like this is the logical leap you're making. But he explicitly just said it.
Oh, yeah.
He said that indoctrinating someone, indoctrinating a children into believing a certain ideology is grooming, when that's just like indoctrination mm-hmm. at worst. Like, there's already a word for that you've used over and over, so I don't know why you're trying to link this to grooming, but it's just a clean-cut example of how they are trying to justify violence and, I don't know, legal backlash against marginalized
groups.
It's
like if I got on here and started saying, yeah, Tucker Carlson is getting on here and murdering you uh-huh. every single night. He's murdering your conservative parents when he talks about these things. But actually, murder, you see, I mean murder in the way that it's killing your brain cells.
Spiritually.
It's spiritually killing your soul to believe in these conservative policies. And that's what I'm talking about when I say conservatives are out here murdering working class Americans.
Right. Like, it's, I was going to make an even worse joke. I was gonna make a joke about terrorism and use it, but I'm not gonna. I don't want to get, you know, demonetized in the future.
In the future, yeah. Once you're making
fucking bans on it.
Oh my god.
Anyway, we got to, real quick before moving on to our set of miscellaneous yeah. news stories. I want to talk about Trump being a criminal.
Dope.
Because we covered a story a couple of months ago about how the Trump Organization was under investigation for fraud charges, right? Mm-hmm. It was payroll fraud, compensation fraud, and a couple of other things. And the trial just wrapped up recently.
Oh.
And we got a ruling.
Was it the one for the Trump Organization?
Yeah, Trump Organization.
Weren't they found guilty?
And they were found guilty.
Yep.
On 17 criminal counts.
Let's go.
17 various criminal counts about lying about assets, again, compensation fraud, and various other things. And they could pay up to $1.6 million in fines. They haven't gotten their, like, punishment charges set yet.
Not shit.
Which is nothing for a $1 billion business.
Yeah.
So that's
it's,
not great.
It's like how, what's the Wolf of Wall Street guy? Jordan Belfort, like the real life one, mm-hmm. how he stole all that fucking money from people. He's overall a bad person, right?
Yeah.
He stole all that fucking money from people, got so many ill-gotten gains. And mm-hmm. usually when people commit white collar crime like that, the fines they have to pay are a percentage, like yeah. a small percentage yeah. of all the money they stole. And they come out of prison after serving their 2-year terms. They just get to live off all the stolen money.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't you have to pay all the stolen money back
yeah.
when you get hit with a right collar crime like fraud?
You would think so. And I guess it's just more evidence that the law only applies to poor people.
Literally.
if that's how it works, then it doesn't apply to anyone that's wealthy.
At this point, it feels like a parking ticket or a speeding ticket is more of a burden on a poor person's income than someone who is committing like actual literal felonies.
Someone who's cheating. Yeah.
Someone who's cheating to enrich themselves.
Doing crimes, yeah.
Ugh.
And that's crazy. Good legal system we have set up. Obviously, it could have larger implications on the business, but I doubt it. I don't think anything personally will happen to Trump. And the question that I've seen a lot of, this obviously was overshadowed by other bigger news stories, but the thing that I was seeing people talk about in regards to this story was if it'll have implications on Trump electorally,
no.
like in 2024. And my prediction is probably not.
Absolutely not. The only people, and another prediction for 2024, MSNBC and CNN will cover this way more than they should.
Maybe.
Because it's going to hit with the liberal, like, CNN watcher.
And that's who I've seen say it's going to have electoral implications, as the libs.
But it's like, that's not an electoral implication if it was already people that are going to vote for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This isn't going to do anything for people on the margins. This isn't going to do anything for conservatives in uh-huh. general, right? Because he's got to fall back on moderates can fall back on the idea that, well, he's not personally running these businesses day to day. It was the guy, the CFO.
Yeah, that's how they always get out of it. Yeah,
that's how they're going to get out of it. And then the conservatives who are going to vote for Trump anyway, the MAGA conservatives, the MAGA heads, are going to get on here and say, oh, this is Biden's DOJ being corrupt, defund the FBI.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's crazy how, like, this should have election implications, right?
Yeah.
Like, in an ideal world, when a company that is named after you does fraudulent criminal things and is found guilty on 17 charges, like, that should disqualify you from, ever holding a position of power.
We know that he is aware of these things under his organization. Yeah. Like, we know.
And this certainly won't have any implications in a general election. It'll be forgotten about so quickly. Like, there'll be very few things from this era of politics before we fully get into the 2024 election season that actually apply to the media narratives that are going to pop up then. This certainly will not be one of them.
Yeah.
The only way that this could ever matter is in a primary, but even then, I doubt that it will, like if it's between DeSantis and Trump, because this would require conservatives to actually give a fuck about what corporations have been doing.
Oh, yeah.
Conservative voters really don't care. They care, like, when it's a Jewish person running a business, but other than that, they don't care. And conservative commentators, all of them have fully bought in to corporations being 100% corrupt, especially when they're ran by conservatives. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, this would require actual introspection that they're not capable
of. Yeah, one of the principled stances they have taken is against the IRS.
Yes, exactly. Against the one agency that can enforce the rules against these corporations, they've taken a principled stance against this.
It's against the IRS, and what's the other body? The FTC?
Trade Commission, yeah.
Yeah, the probably. Trade Commission. They take principled stances against them as well.
And they even, during this trial, before we got a verdict, they were coming out against the, I think it was New York Attorney General that was prosecuting this case.
Sick.
Like, they already don't care. There's no way that this will ever have any impact on Trump's election chances. It just won't. It won't matter.
Anything bad that happens to Trump is a political stunt
His base. If inciting an insurrection at the fucking Capitol to overturn election results that you didn't like didn't have implications on Donald Trump, this will not matter.
Absolutely.
Being found guilty, or the Trump organization being found guilty on 17 charges, will have absolutely no implications.
Honestly, the most important thing is just making people forget about Trump, kind of. Mm-hmm. Just the biggest thing in beating him in 2024, if he is the nominee, is just kind of making people forget about him, making people realize this guy's kind of mid. Yeah. You're not going to be able to attack his character like that, because his base will be there through and through.
Well, yeah, he's viewed as like a fucking deity.
He's a god.
There's no way that you can really undermine that. And like, even if you were to convince some portion of them that the Trump organization did criminal things, one, they'll just bail him out for it and say he wasn't doing the criminal stuff.
Or even if he was doing the criminal stuff, they'll just hit him with, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, yeah, he's a corrupt
DOJ is against him.
Because that was always the retort, wasn't it? Like in 2016, people would say, well, you know, some of his business dealings are pretty shady. And they're like, he's a businessman.
He's a businessman. What are you going to do? Come on.
Right. He's a businessman. He's making money in New York. What can you say?
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
I'm walking here. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to matter literally at all.
Yeah. So that's fun. I love it.
But we got to talk about the Senate.
Something that actually really does matter, but like after the fact, because if it would have gone the other way, it would have been bad, considering another recent development.
Very vague statement.
That's all a long way to say that we're going to talk about the Georgia election results.
Talking about the Senate in general, actually.
That's right.
So as Gage just mentioned, Senate results out of Georgia, Raphael Warnock, he won. Herschel Walker.
For a brief moment, we had 51. In the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Herschel Walker, he lost to Raphael Warnock by 2%, giving Democrats a 51-seat majority at the time.
At the time, for a couple days.
A few days later, Kyrsten Sinema announced that she's leaving the Democratic Party and that she's now going to identify as an independent. So that's the
sick.
Most bisexual thing she's ever done, I think. Now, of course, Democrats, they still have a 51-49 breakdown, because she's still going to caucus with the Democrats.
Yeah.
She's going to do it similar to how Bernie Sanders does, except in a way that makes me want to
in a way that's
do awful
really
things.
Fucking annoying and attention-seeking.
Yeah, so she's now an independent, and I have a quote from her. Okay. If you want to try to get inside the cinema head, she said, quote, "I've never really fit neatly into a party box. I've never really tried to. I don't want to. Removing myself from the partisan structure, not only is it true to who I am and how I operate, I also think it'll provide a place of belonging for many folks across the state and country who are tired of the partisanship."
Let's be real. She doesn't give a fuck about the partisanship.
Not
the
at all.
Only reason she's doing this is
because of partisanship, probably.
Is because of, I think it was like around 6 months ago, the Arizona Democratic, no, it was when she voted on $15 minimum wage, shortly after that, the Arizona Democratic Party said that they would not back back cinema
yeah.
in her reelection campaign. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why she's doing this, because she doesn't have any money from the Democrats anymore.
And yeah,
she has no sway in the Arizona Democratic Party.
And I'm pretty sure she's polling pretty, not that we can always trust the polls.
Real.
But I'm pretty sure she's polling pretty far below some, I can't remember who they're trying to like put up to run against her in like a mock primary right now, but some guy in Arizona that's pretty well liked. He's like fairly progressive. She's polling pretty far below
him. Wow, really? You're switching out a bisexual woman for some guy?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the diversity there?
God.
But the reason that she's switching to being an independent on the ballot, I think, is an electoral strategy.
Yeah.
A lot of people have aptly pointed out that if she is an independent on the ballot, that means that if there's also a Democrat and Republican, that the Democrat will probably have to back down. Otherwise, she will split the vote between the liberals in the state of Arizona, which means the Republican, even if they get like 38% of the vote, might be able to eke out a victory. And then that seat, which we really need in 24, flips red in the Senate.
I love it.
Yeah, not great.
I love it so much. I love it when people do bad things.
Which means that she is more willing to give the seat over to a Republican than just vote for what the party wants. Isn't that fun? She is
then just vote for good things that she like came up on.
Talk about playing for the other side.
Because didn't she come up on being an annoying Twitter communist?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So fucking cool.
She's never fit in a box. She's just not a party person.
Exactly. Come on. She's a fluid individual.
Well, she goes where the money tells her to go. If it's Big Pharma telling her to switch to an independent so that she can win in the 2024 primary and the general election, then she'll do it.
She'll do it. She's a bag chaser, and I identify with that.
And it's not clear if it's going to be successful, but I guess we'll see. She's now an independent, so
it's all about that bag, baby.
Yeah. I'm guessing she waited to do it until after the runoff because the 50-50 split, she didn't want to upset that somehow, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she's not, like, you know, fully saying, like, fuck the Democratic Party now. I don't think she's going to become a Republican.
Probably cares a little bit.
But she definitely is doing this for an electoral strategy.
There's a shred of warmth in that cold, cold heart.
Exactly. Exactly. Just a little bit.
A little shred. It's like the Grinch, but before he got redeemed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to whip out the holiday references.
Exactly. Wow. You're using a Grinch metaphor for a woman, Gage? A woman in Congress? One of the 27% of congressional membership being female? This guy. He hates women nowadays.
No. Speaking of women.
Speaking of women. Great segues today. We got to talk about one of the bigger news stories from this last week, and that's Brittany Griner.
Story, yeah.
We got to talk about Brittany Griner. So if you, for all of you that don't know, I think it was about 10 months ago at this point.
It was a while ago.
Brittany Griner, she's a WNBA player. She was in Russia. She was arrested by the Russian police or fucking whatever their state forces.
She had like a pen on her.
She had cannabis oil on her, and she was arrested and then sentenced to 9 years in prison. And she was basically put in what is a labor camp in Russia.
Yeah.
So pretty awful conditions. But recently, she won her Gulag 1v1. And she's coming back, or she actually is now back in America because Joe Biden was able to negotiate for her release. And that's kind of where the controversy comes in. So obviously completely unjust. She should never have been thrown in jail.
Oh no. And it's very clear that Russia only threw her in jail for 9 years to explicitly get a prisoner swap with the prisoner they swapped for.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's the only reason this was going on, because her sentence was far beyond the usual Russian sentencing guidelines for something like this.
Which is like what, 15 days or some shit like that?
I don't know if it's that low, but it's not 9 years.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, 9 years is insane. And you may be able to make the critique if you want to, like, oh, well, we jail people for weed all the time. We got people in jail right now for weed.
Yeah, that's
like,
bad too.
Exactly. Like, both of these things can be bad at the same time. And now, an American citizen, and I emphasize citizen, and we'll get to why in a second, being held in captivity by a foreign nation, big deal.
Bad thing.
Really, really big deal, especially for such a minor crime, especially for, let's be honest, not doing anything wrong.
Especially in somewhere like Russia.
Yeah. At a labor camp, no less.
Exactly.
Not a great look. And of course, like I said, this is where the controversy comes in, because Biden negotiated for her release, so we got Brittany Griner back, but we traded Victor Bout, a man who has been detained here for quite a while and goes by the Merchant of Death.
It's cool.
Pretty crazy name.
Cool.
Pretty crazy name. He's an arms dealer, all-around bad person, and at first glance, you may say, well, this seems like an asymmetrical deal.
Yeah.
Like, we seem like we're getting burned on this deal. Like, what's going on?
I'm very willing to admit that optically, this deal looks awful.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
It does not make any sense, but it's also kind of like the when you look at his sentence, he was set to get out in 29 anyway. He was going to be back on the streets no matter what. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is like, oh, but he sells weapons to our enemies. He's one of the most prolific arms dealers and smugglers in the world. And to that that I say, we give weapons to our enemies. Yeah. Both implicitly and explicitly. Uh-huh. This time last year, we gave weapons to, I guess, our biggest enemy at the time, the Taliban, mm-hmm. and pulled out of Afghanistan. And that was still the right thing to do. The optically badness of this all should not obfuscate what is the right thing to do. And because overall, it's better.
To be honest, I think it's only optically bad right now because of how it's being framed by conservative media. Again, like, framing is everything here. So a little bit about Victor Bout. Like we said, prolific arms dealer. He was either at the top or near the top of the most wanted list for quite a while. Mm-hmm. He was arrested in 2008 after a sort of sting operation where he was going to sell arms to a group that wanted to kill U.S. troops. And then I think the seller was just like a plant from us.
Let's just do it again.
So we so we caught him in 2008 doing that. He was found guilty in 2012 and sentenced to 25 years in prison. He had served 11 of that up until this point. So, like you said, he was well on his way to getting out pretty soon anyways. And a lot of people have been coming out saying, like, trading Victor Bout for Griner was really bad. And they've even been coming out just saying, like, Griner being back is bad in general.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy because it's an American citizen.
It echoes what happens when she was first arrested, where they're like, well, that was against the law in their country. She shouldn't have done it. Yeah. She shouldn't have broke the law.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they've been even more mad that we took Brittany Griner back instead of Marine Paul Whelan. Mm. Have you seen this?
I didn't even know who the fuck this guy was.
So Paul Whelan is a Marine that's been in Russia since 2018. Yep. He was sentenced to 16 years in prison. But the reason he was arrested and is being kept is because he was carrying multiple passports into the country.
Okay.
He had some $70,000 to $80,000 he was going to use to buy some USBs. And subsequently was accused of espionage. Was accused of spying by the Russian state.
Okay.
And he was not up for negotiation. Russia was not going to trade him back for anybody.
Kind of makes sense that you can't get someone back who they're not willing to give back.
Yeah. So Russia was not willing to give him back. Trump previously tried to get Paul Whelan back. It didn't work. Paul Whelan was not on the table.
Yeah.
And I think the Biden team also had tried to get him back on different occasions, separate from the Brittany Griner stuff. And Russia, of course, again, was not willing to give Paul Whelan back. He's still like a U.S. Well, he's a Marine, so he's not really a civilian. He's still a U.S. Marine, someone from the United States that we should get back at some point. But if they weren't willing to negotiate for his release, then that's not great.
What the fuck are you going to do?
And then, of course,
there's nothing you can do.
There was Russians that we have in captivity right now, caging them like the animals they are, that we weren't willing to negotiate for as well. There was somebody else that they wanted before Victor Bout that they couldn't get because we said, we're not giving this
overall
guy back. He's fucking
probably
insane.
Even worse guy somehow.
Yeah, definitely. So this deal is a lot more nuanced than the Republican media is willing to stage it. Mm-hmm. Also, like, yeah, if you get accused of espionage in Russia, you're not really going to get to go back as easy as someone who was caught having, you know, cannabis oil.
Exactly.
On them. These are not the same things.
It's a little more complicated for an active member of the United States military getting caught doing espionage things.
Yeah. And regardless of your take on this situation, you cannot reasonably have the take that Brittany Griner being back is somehow bad.
Yeah.
Because that is how conservative media has been framing it. They've been saying something along the lines of like, oh, well, she hates America. Why would Biden want to bring her back? It's like, dog, come on. Like, this is, first of all, racist. Gotta
yeah.
be.
The
gotta
subtle be motivated misogyny by racism. Has been crazy.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like,
for
what
sure.
the fuck are we doing this for a WNBA player for?
And to your theory you mentioned earlier, the transphobia.
When there's
nothing else to say on a story, the transphobia has been crazy. And we'll get to that in just a second. But
okay.
I think the argument could be made that Joe Biden freed her first over other people that are, you know, U.S. citizens that are, you know, being held prisoner in other places, that she was the focus because of political reasons, right?
Yeah.
Because Griner, her story and her, I don't know, capture, I guess, imprisonment was so high profile. One, because she's like an Olympic gold medalist, right? Pretty celebrated athlete.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, pretty celebrated athlete, a member of the WNBA, which I know, you know, some people might hop in and be like, nobody likes the WNBA. Doesn't matter.
Still,
she's an athlete.
Still.
American athlete, celebrated athlete. And it was obviously made high profile because of how stupid the reason for her arrest was. Mm-hmm. But my point there would be like, presidents have always prioritized freeing high priority people.
Glad to have you back home ASAP. I know the road was rocky. Same thing fucking there.
Yeah, exactly. When Donald Trump freed ASAP Rocky. And also the example I was going to bring up is like back during the Carter administration, when there was the Iranian hostage crisis. Do you think he was prioritizing getting anybody else home? No.
Yeah.
That was the most high profile crisis of his presidency. And he was not thinking about getting anyone else home during the fucking 400 days or whatever that they were gone. There just wasn't a chance because presidents are politicians that are going to target high profile people that they want to get home because it's an optical win when they do it. Except when
it's a black woman.
Well, yeah, of course. And that was That was kind of what I was going to get into, is that the racism and the misogyny here have been absolutely crazy for Brittany Griner. Because a lot of conservatives, like I said, have been on about like Biden freed her, even though she hates America, which is already a soulless take. But they've also been going on about how like she's actually a trans woman and not a cis woman, which is crazy because verifiably false.
Yeah.
She's an athlete. Every chromosome in her body has been studied.
I saw a wicked thumbnail the other day that was a picture of like her and Michelle Obama talking about them being trans. I was like, God fucking damn, dog.
Not the Michelle Obama theories
again. Not the Michelle Obama.
Because she had a ruffle in her pants one time. Something that doesn't happen to women, to cis women ever. It's just, you ever had a ruffle in your pants? You must have a dick in there. That's what it is.
Nah, those pussy lips are looking a little too big right now.
So yeah, there's been a lot of accusations that there was this video that surfaced of Brittany Griner on the plane, either about to fly back or flying back. It's a video of her being told that like she's going back to America, and she's like, you know, excited about that. And her voice sounds deep. That's it.
Maybe it's because she's been worked like a dog.
Maybe because she's
better
been
part of a year
held in a labor camp. She's exhausted, and also like I don't know. She's a fucking athlete.
What is she feeling under the weather?
Yeah. And there's also been people saying like, oh, well, you know, she's super tall. Like those are masculine feet. Like there's never been a tall woman before. Come on, brother. Like she's done a nude photo shoot for fuck's sake. Like you can look it up at
you
this
can
point.
Google it. Like, yeah. And it's not even like, it's not like a leak either. It's not even a moral. You can just go figure it out yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, this just, it perfectly loops into the whole moral panic bit. It's just, everything's got to be associated with trans people at this point somehow.
I love it.
Because trans people bad, and it must explain why Joe Biden wanted to get her back.
And this person is bad and hates America, therefore they must be trans.
Exactly. Well, and it's a black woman.
True.
And black women scary, according to conservatives.
Real.
So.
That's why it's all the black women that they're calling trans.
Well, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. And that is a real, the real perception there is like black women are somehow more aggressive and more manly than white women are.
It plays into previously existing stereotypes, is why it's all these black women getting targeted, like Michelle Obama.
Which is why it works for them very well.
Uh-huh.
So. Moving on to SCOTUS. Our last little section on SCOTUS today.
little update. Cases are back, baby.
Yeah. You may have had a moment's respite when we weren't talking about SCOTUS. We had a fun summer. We had a hot SCOTUS summer where we were talking about all their decisions that were coming out in succession, just rapidly taking your rights away as Americans. And we have some more rights that are going to be taken away, folks. More rights that we need to talk about that you're losing.
So fun.
I hope you're ready. This case that we got to talk about today, they've began hearings. We're not going to get any decisions for quite a while, but they began hearings for their next session. And the first case I want to talk about is 303 Creative versus Alenis. I think that's how you say that. Okay. This case is Lori Smith, who's the owner of 303 Creative, which is a business in Colorado. She's challenging Colorado's anti-discrimination law.
Nice.
Which is off to a great start. Like, if you are filing a lawsuit against anti-discrimination
optical
laws.
Optical win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What her business does is create wedding websites. And I'm sure by me saying that, you can already assume where this is
going. What's with the wedding shit?
I don't know, man.
First it's the wedding cake, and now it's the wedding website?
Now it's the wedding website. But this one is different in an important way. She wants to add a message to her website that says that she will not, quote, create websites for same-sex marriage or any other marriage that is not between one man and one woman.
Cool.
So unlike the cake Supreme Court example, she is saying that not that she wants to getting sued for not serving a certain group. She wants the constitutional right to say, I'm not going to serve you before anything happens.
She wants to change the law.
Uh-huh. She doesn't want the right to like just do her business. She wants the right to discriminate preemptively.
That's so cool.
That's exactly what she wants to do. So she's challenging this Colorado law. She wants the permission basically from the state to be homophobic. And of course, Colorado's law says like if you're going to do business here, you can't discriminate based on these characteristics, sexual orientation,
the
of course,
immutable
being one
ones.
Of them. Yeah, sexual orientation being one of them. And I am positive. Almost positive that this is going to come down on the side of the business.
I think so too.
I don't know. It seems improbable that they'll ever side with, you know, decency, protecting rights, that kind of thing. Just doesn't seem like
especially
it's
going to happen. Especially with this little Alito snippet here.
Sam Alito, he had a banger of a quote. Absolute banger of a quote. And he said, well, he was actually, it was more of a thought experiment, I would say.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Quick hypothetical.
Quick hypothetical experiment related to this case. He said, if there's a black Santa at the other end of the mall and he doesn't want to have his picture taken with a child who's dressed up in a Ku Klux Klan outfit, That Black Santa has to do that?
Being a member of the KKK, famously an immutable characteristic.
Yeah, Sam Alito, of course, he was challenging the Colorado law, yeah. saying like, oh, you would make a Black Santa take pictures with a Ku Klux Klan member?
The KKK phenotype.
Yeah, of course. the immutable characteristic that is being a part of the KKK. And that's just crazy.
I like how he starts it off with a Black Santa at the other side of the mall.
Oh, of course. Well, I think he was responding to somebody else saying something about like a white Santa refusing to be pictured with a black kid.
Yeah,
which is wrong. And then, of course, he goes, well, what if there was a white kid dressed up as the KKK? I love how these hypotheticals are always employed to defend the most fucking egregious people on the planet.
Yeah, let's take the side of the KKK here.
Yeah. Well, no, it's because he's saying that because he wants to make the point that, like, well, of course, businesses should be able to refuse service to, you know, certain groups of people. Like, yeah. no Black Santa should be made to have to take a picture with someone dressed up in a KKK outfit. But, of course, as you mentioned, being a part of the KKK is not an immutable characteristic.
You can take the outfit off.
Yeah.
You can take the outfit off.
You could take the outfit off. You could, hot take, not be racist.
Real.
You don't have to be. But I just, I thought that's fun. And I think it's fun how these kinds of arguments about, you know, should a business be forced to serve all people? They always happen to just protect the most bigoted people.
Do you know, are there two cases arguing about this term?
There might be. I don't know. This is the only one I know about.
Okay. I know in one of the cases, if this isn't the only one, this could very well be one, but I know the foundation for arguing against the anti-discrimination law is that actually it's discriminating against them and their Christian belief.
Oh, definitely.
And it's an infringement on their First Amendment right to freedom of religion.
That may be the second component of the thing. And I think it's interesting because, you know, we talk about states being the bearer of rights, like in this country, right? We talk about a state's right to, I don't know, impose abortion bans or a state's right to choose. Yeah, a state's right to choose or, you know, do any other number of things. And I think in the Constitution, it says like states can regulate commerce within their borders. Uh-huh. And you would think that this is something that clearly falls under the jurisdiction of the state to regulate. Like if a state and also 29 other states, in addition to Colorado, want to say like, yeah, in order to do business, you can't be racist. You can't be homophobic.
Well, actually, you're discriminating against me. It's a core belief of mine to be homophobic.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that That seems a little weird.
Yeah.
That seems
a little
weird.
Suck on that.
And it's like, wasn't it a good thing to say like, oh, restaurants can no longer serve whites only? Like, wasn't that a step forward in social progression?
It was a good thing. It was good for business.
Yeah.
Good for the economy.
So this Supreme Court case seemingly jeopardizes those 30 states that have anti-discrimination laws.
And it's
so,
that. And if this is the one that has a secondary component about it being infringement on your freedom of religion, that's got such crazy fucking consequences attached to it.
Uh-huh.
That's loaded.
Yeah, no,
that's
it's bad.
Loaded. It's gonna be this is gonna be such an interesting term with this Moore v. Harper,
yep.
Both of the affirmative action cases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's just the impending destruction of rights and democracy as we know it. And we'll just be here podcasting about it.
Real. Maybe the Supreme Court will literally vote to fucking kill someone again.
Yeah. They'll just vote to off you for being innocent. Vote to fucking destroy head in the vote to bomb Gage's house, the studio.
No.
6-3 vote. It was a close one. It was a close one. The liberals sided with
us. You got me. You got me.
Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
That does. That brings us to all the beautiful people that support us financially that we need to thank.
As a quick reminder, well, again, we'll be having that award show coming up very soon in two weeks from the airing of this episode. So make sure you all get on submitting your nominations and eventually voting when that's an option.
Exactly, because we need some ideas.
We need community engagement. You know, it wouldn't be an award show without community picks.
Exactly.
And
best episode.
We're just men of the people. You
best,
know what I mean?
Hottest take.
We're men of the people until the people disagree with us. Then it's fuck you.
Exactly. Then it's no, you're wrong.
Then
actually, Hard for Crime was the best episode.
This isn't a democracy. Call me the Supreme Court. I'm deciding.
You didn't vote me in.
Exactly.
You came here. You willingly came over. If you don't like it, leave.
I earned this position.
If you don't like it, leave.
Exactly.
That's all I'm going to say.
But before we go, special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts.
The people
layouts,
who do like it.
Nikki Nine Lives, Kid and Kraut, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, The B-Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vezquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Bread, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Judah Marshall, and My Mom. Thank you all so much for supporting the show on Patreon. You make all of it possible.
Absolutely.
We love you so much.
So much.
Remember to submit your award show nominations. Exactly. We love you.